Welcome everyone to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter. Bruce, are you even, you know, you're the editor of Sioux City, you're entertainment reporter, you've got candidates coming in because you had the caucuses. Don't you just want to go to bed now?
I so want to go to bed. You can't believe it. And we had bad weather. So throw all that in the mix. You know, the bad weather says you just sit and watch the Emmys, right?
You do. Yeah.
You don't do the other stuff. But we did the other stuff, and now we're ready to move on.
We are. And I left my house for the first time in over 24 hours this morning to take my kids to school.
What was it like in the outside world?
Ooh, well, first of all, my garage door only opened halfway because it was partially frozen shut because it was minus 11 when I was trying to take my kids to school. And it was a little brisk out there. I got back home, but you're right. I sat in front of the TV. The warm glow of my LED TV just kept me. Of course, there's no, you know, heat coming off of an LED TV, but you know what I'm saying. I sat there and I enjoyed it.
I hear you.
It was nice.
It was the most enjoyable Emmy ceremony in recent memory. I can't tell you the last one that I really loved. And I love this one, even though the shows that they were remembering weren't exactly all my favorite shows.
Sure.
But it was fun to see. They did a kind of a reunion bit with a bunch of TV shows. And I think that's a great way to go, particularly when all of the winners are from streaming services or cable, you know, shows. It reminded you what brought us to the tube in the old days. We were all gathering around because there was something we had to see, and the idea that we could see it at any time didn't exist. It was, you saw it in the reruns, or if they had too many episodes, you didn't see it at all. So you had to be there. And it was fun to see those ones. It was fun to see how grateful they were to be remembered. Because a lot of times, you know how they get full of themselves and you think, well, wait a minute here. I'll tell you, when Niecy Nash won, I started to cry because we have seen her for years in comedies and little parts and whatnot. And finally, she got something that was worthy of winning an Emmy. And when she said, I'm a winner, baby, you could feel it. So even though it was for Dahmer, which, by the way, should have won for Best Actor because Evan Peters was incredible as Jeffrey Dahmer. But I think they wanted to distance themselves from that show because it was like, really? You're doing a show about Jeffrey Dahmer? I don't know.
I had a lot of fun watching that, though. So if you compare it, you know, first off, these were awards for shows that were before the Golden Globes, but we got the Golden Globes before the Emmys because of the strike. But
all in like a week, we've had the Globes, the Critics' Choice, and now the Emmys. They have to be tired of having their stylists at their house all the time.
I watched only a few minutes of the Golden Globes. I was really busy that day. There was other things going on. So I turned it on for a little bit, just trying to catch something. And I felt like I was bored out of my mind. Like, it just felt dull to me. It was, there was nothing about it that wanted, where I felt like I want to keep watching this. The Emmy Awards were totally different. From the moment it came on, I'm like, I got to watch this. I can't miss it. I was actually bouncing back and forth because I was handling national duties to update our website and let everyone know how things were going. So I had my computer in one room, TV in another, but I had on my laptop, I also, because I use YouTube TV, so I had the Emmys up on both. And I found myself like I had to dart back and forth because I didn't want to miss anything. And I really thought Anthony Anderson did a really nice job hosting. He was funny. He kept it loose. The bit with his mom, you know, like, mama's going to get you off the stage. And it was just fun. And then, I think the best part about it is when John Oliver just started going off and thanking like everybody and, you know, made it about Pokemon cards. And he was like almost taunting her to make him get off the stage. And I thought, like, you know, now we're having fun because it shouldn't be stuffy tuxedos all the time. We can have fun.
Well, if you notice, they got done a little early, so they were kind of filling, and you think, wow, That's good. They were able to plan this out, and it was well done. The winners, now let's be honest, we've seen the same people win three award shows in a row. Is that something we need to be worried about? Because there's a lot of content, and I've said this before, why are they not spreading this stuff around a little bit better? Because some of those ones, I could say maybe they didn't deserve.
Yeah, it was an interesting night for sure. I mean, you know, first off, when it came to the best comedy series, right, The Bear, it won for season one. And then even though for the Golden Globes, it won for season two. So it's all already like turned around. So, you know, so we know that they're probably already the favorite for the Emmys next year. It was kind of a strange thing seeing. It was basically, what, three shows? It was Succession, it was The Bear, and it was Beef. And you had a few other people here and there. You know, you had your John Oliver, you had RuPaul, you had, you know, a couple things here and there, depending on what the program was. But it was basically three shows just crushing it. So to your point, there's a lot of content out there. But is it a case where the content that out there, I mean, it's good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like, I looked at some of those shows that were nominated, right? Ted Lasso, great show. Barry, great show. Mrs. Maisel, great show. But they got nothing. Is it just a case that, like, Succession and The Bear are just leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else?
You know, the thing that changed was the voting procedure. It used to be that they would sit in a room and they would show the nominees and you would vote in the room. The smaller panels would do this. And I think when they opened it up and let everybody have a shot at voting, it maybe made it look more like, you know, the movies where you tend to see a trend where you see one movie will win a lot. And you go, well, come on. Their costumes weren't that good, but there's that momentum that comes with success. So I think that's what happened is but boy, they were winning everything. And you would have thought that director and writer might have been the place where they would go rogue, where you'd see maybe somebody else would win one of those and then they could still win. But Succession and Beef and Bear all went in for the hunt. They were there for all of it. You know, what can you say? But when you consider the people who are winning are not movie stars, are not well known, it was interesting to see how we were buying into it. You know, you love Succession. I am on the fence about it. I was still happy for it. I'm glad they won. What was interesting is that Better Call Saul became the biggest loser ever. It was nominated 53 times and it never won one.
Wow, it's like the Susan Lucci of TV shows.
Now, what does that say? Because it was good, but is Second Place really anything anymore? I don't know.
Right, and that brings up the point, too, that I made last week where I love Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, great programs, you know, two of the best programs of the last 20 years. But one thing I had mentioned was you can see the difference. You know, you can see that the money that goes in to produce a show like Better Call Saul, it's not the same as whatever money is being spent by HBO to do The Last of Us, Succession, you know, even the show like Game of Thrones. And those are basically theatrical productions. I mean, it is like the closest you can get to releasing something in a movie theater, because that's the quality that they're putting into it and the money that they're pumping into it, compared to a show like Better Call Saul, which is clearly made for TV. But, you know, it's so when you put them up against each other, I mean, you know, if you showed me Succession next to Better Call Saul and tell me, like, pick which one is better, it's tough for me because I just look at the production value and it is just leaps and bounds. And that's HBO money for you.
I talked to Jodie Foster about True Detective, and she was saying that, you know, really when she moved into movies, you didn't even consider doing television because television was considered not the same quality. And if you got kind of tainted with that, you would become a television actor. And so they tended to not do. Now, you know, all that is thrown out the window. And she said it's because streaming allows you to tell stories in a shorter amount of time. You don't have to commit to 20 or more episodes a year, and you don't know when it ends. Whereas with these streaming shows, they can be 10 episodes, 8 episodes. True Detective is 6, and you're out of it. And I think that attracts some of the bigger talent and also a writer who really wants to make a statement with something. So it is a different landscape. It's not the same landscape that we remember. And I think that's why you see there was only, I think, one of the big awards went to somebody from a network TV show. And that was went to Brunson for Abbott Elementary. Remember when it was All in the Family versus Mary Tyler Moore versus MASH, all network stuff. And now it's hard to find one of those even slipping in.
Your point on Jodie Foster is spot on, too, because you look at all of the big name stars who have gone on to do TV shows. I mean, Harrison Ford. I mean, look, he was the biggest action star from Star Wars to Indiana Jones to, you know, to The Fugitive. I mean, he was doing everything in the 80s and the 90s, and he's doing Shrinking on Apple TV Plus.
And the Yellowstone spinoff series.
You have Oscar winners doing television, which never happened.
You know, it was funny because on the Critics' Choice, which I don't know if you saw them, but they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he was visibly moved. And you're thinking, really? This means a lot. But I think it was just the idea of a career that you're looking back on that says, you know, I did have an impact somewhere. I wasn't just an actor for hire. It was fun to see him. He also was sitting in front of Anthony Anderson's mother.
He was.
And yet, and she said at one point, well, he left. He left. He's not here anymore. He went out with his wife. So when she was presenting, he said, here's our exit. Let's go now. And that was out of there. But yeah, it's a different world. It's a different world. I really wonder, though, if they need to look at the credentials or the rules for judging these. I don't know. It's just, to me, it seems a little odd that we would have so many from one show. And then the other, and again, I'm repeating myself, but it's like they're lost. And there were good shows. When you listen to those names, you know, what's the biggest thing you got out of those shows was that Bill Hader is dating Ali Wong.
Right. I didn't realize that either. Yeah. And so
that's the hot news, right?
Right. Right. Exactly.
No, the show itself, though, some of those, when you saw the set immediately, you could say what the show was. And then you saw some of the people come out from that show. I wish they had done more with Cheers because they did a really nice look at Cheers and they had a lot of Cheers people.
They did.
But they didn't really, they used them for two awards and they really weren't big awards. And I think they given away like best comedy, best writing, best directing, all of that.
Yeah, it was fun to see because really, I mean, obviously Kirstie Alley passed away, so she couldn't be there, but it was largely the key people from that series were there. I mean, they had a really large group and it was fun seeing, you know, with All in the Family, Meathead showing back up again. I thought it was very touching too with The Sopranos when they did that little bit and they had James Gandolfini's photo on Dr. Melfi's table, coffee table. And that was kind of a sad moment for me because that was such a great show for me. It's one of my favorites of all time.
Now, Martin.
Yeah.
They looked like they were struggling. Somebody didn't come to rehearsal or whatever, and they had to figure it out because you saw Anthony Anderson come in and it's like, I'm going to get you back on track here now because we've got time to worry about and let's see what happens. But different because I think Martin Lawrence wasn't really prepared for what they were going to do. Like he thought he was going to do a little stand up there for a few minutes. And then it's like, no, we got to get back on track. Let's do something about the winners. The Always Sunny people. Did you know that they had never been nominated ever?
No, I didn't. And that was hilarious too. And Danny DeVito then is like, well, I won an Emmy for what? For Taxi.
Taxi. Well, I thought that was fun. That was a cool way of putting it together. I think the ending of the In Memoriam segment where they did Friends theme, you know, I had a problem with it. Not that I don't think that Matthew Perry, you know, he deserves attention, okay? But he would be one that you would probably put in the beginning or the middle somewhere, but not hold him for the last one. Usually it's the biggest star gets the last spot. And then they kind of hold on that person and then they go. And there were huge people who died this last year. Angela Lansbury, Barbara Walters. I mean, you name them. They were all like Lifetime Achievement Award winners from the Emmy people. And I get it. I get how they were trying to do the song and the music and all that. But it was just kind of interesting. There was talk at one of the other award shows, which one I'm not sure, that the cast of Friends was going to be together and that they would be doing some kind of a tribute, but that didn't transpire. And I can see why we don't want to get into that.
Yeah, I think part of the problem too was, I think the natural ending to that, especially when you talk about this is an awards for TV programming, and what was the biggest, most notable death in television in the last year, and it was actually fairly recent, and it was Norman Lear, right? I can't think of another, but they opened with it, you know, so because they used the All in the Family bit to kind of walk into that. And I think because they opened with Norman Lear, it would have maybe it would have been better if they could have opened it with Friends and did that tribute to Matthew Perry and then finish on Norman Lear. And then you come into, you know, the All in the Family bit. So, you know, that would have been maybe the way I would have gone, just to end it on him, because he is, I mean, he really modernized television and the sitcom and so many different things.
And he won just recently for doing those redos of the TV shows. And he was up there and still a force in the business. And
no, I was going to add too, that it was really nice seeing Carol Burnett up there too.
Well, and you know, they needed to like tell a little bit more about her winning earlier in the week. They used to do a thing that I loved, which was those guest artists and like individuals like hers who won for a variety special, they would announce it. They would say, and winning earlier this year in the best guest actor category, Judith Light. And with Judith Light, another best actor winner, you know, Nick Offerman. And that would have been fun to have them up, because then they do get a little do there. But, you know, she did get her moment, and she is part of history of television, like you can't believe. But it does point up some of those things, like she was the first woman to have her own variety show. How many women are there? Were many, many after her, but name one now. Is there a woman now with a variety show? I can't really, I can't put anybody's name to it. So that was fascinating. You could see how Fox is trying to push some of their shows where you go, is that a show? Is that really on? I can't believe it. And Rob Lowe, I have a question for you, Rob Lowe, if you're out there, which I know you're not. How long do you stick with a series? Because it seems like he's with a series for a year and then he ditches it.
That's right. Yeah.
Doesn't it? Is he still on that 911?
I think he is, yeah.
Or did he ditch it?
No, I believe he's still on it. I think the one that ditched it, wasn't it Liv Tyler was his co-host the first season and then she bailed?
Okay, well then now he also has that thing with his son, where it's kind of a quasi-reality show, and he's got a game show that I think was called The Floor. Now, come on. Rob, I have a question or two. Let's talk. Because this is like, no, stick with something. He did this back in the day when he was on some of those, like West Wing. He bailed not too long into it. Maybe he got 2 years out of it, and then we lost him. And I think sometimes he should just stay a little longer.
I'm with you.
My 2 cents worth on that. But yeah, you see, goes and you go, is this one that they picked up from some other country and they're sticking it on? Because I was like clueless. And then they made a big thing about the two game show people, Ken from The Masked Singer and Joel McHale from, what one does he do? Is he Legoland? Is he the Lego show? No, that's Will Arnett. He's got some, a little show like that. And you go, geez, is this where we're headed? The Simpsons could have been there. Why didn't they bring the whole cast of The Simpsons out?
That would have been fun.
And they won this year, too.
They did. Yep.
They could have been kind of taking a bow for winning after 30-some years. Come on.
You know, actually, a little fun fact. A friend of mine from New Jersey, he worked at a different newspaper, but we've known each other for a really long time. His brother picked up his fourth Emmy because of The Simpsons a week ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bill Price, who is he's the editor-in-chief of NHL.com. His brother is Michael Price, and he's been a long time writer on The Simpsons. So he's won a number of Emmy Awards. And yeah, so it's a fun little fact there. Like, I've never met the man, but I.
You haven't held his Emmy or anything, and
No, but I did. I the only reason I knew it is because I saw on Facebook Bill shared out a picture of like, congratulations to my brother winning his fourth Emmy. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess he snagged another one.
Sesame Street, where they're winning all these Emmys, you go, oh yeah, stick it over in the corner, we're good. You go, wait a minute, Emmy.
You know that. That's right. Yeah, the funny thing too with just the years being out of whack with the show coming so late. When they got to the best supporting actress, and Jennifer Coolidge won for The White Lotus, which is her second time winning for that role. So I would have liked to have seen that one go to a different one. And I think when you talk about Better Call Saul, that would have been a perfect opportunity with Rhea Seehorn, perhaps, to give it to her. But the one person who I thought actually was going to win, but this is where it gets out of whack with like the year and everything, was Elizabeth Debicki. Because she won the Golden Globe, right, for being Diana. But now that I'm thinking about it, this was nominated for her first appearance, right? Because she'll presumably be nominated for the Emmys next year. And honestly, I don't think she had as strong of a role in her first season as Diana for The Crown. The second season was so good because it gets into obviously her death. I would put her as a front runner right now to win an Emmy next year for this.
And she could move up to best actress category instead of supporting.
Potentially, right? Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing with those shows like White Lotus, they were in limited series last year, and then they decided to do a second season, and this year they're in drama. Now, Fargo has been doing limited series editions every year. So why aren't they forced to go into the best drama series category too? It doesn't make sense. Who's making the decision? But I like seeing Jennifer Coolidge. You know, she's another one of those kind of like, well, we took her for granted too long. And we should realize that she's a good actress and she should have
Yes.
more opportunities. And I still wonder if she isn't showing up in that next season of White Lotus. Come on. She's like the sister. My twin sister shows up for somebody who's a doppelganger for her, I think it would be an easy way of bringing her in. We'll see what happens.
Or they do a prequel of some sort too, where it goes to a previous, right? So you can still bring her back in that way. But it really, I think, your point earlier when you talked about, the Emmys are ways of celebrating actors who maybe they don't have great film careers, but it's a good way to showcase them. You look at her, well, how do I know her? She was Stifler's mother in the American Pie movies, right? And
And how long ago was that?
that was so long ago, and you see her in The White Lotus, and you're like, she's an amazing actor. Where has she been?
Yeah.
And then, and I kind of, as I said last week, had grown a little tired of that persona on the show. But then she gets up there and accepts the award, and you're thinking, like, oh, wait again, she was acting. That's not her. She's not the, that kind of like, right? That's the person. But in real life, she's totally different.
It's one of those iconic performances that you think they can't ignore it. They shouldn't ignore it. Henry Winkler didn't win until he was in Barry. Fonzie should have gotten something. Come on. When you think about those things, and then I think sometimes they make a mistake, and sometimes the mistake is made because they don't want to look like they're pandering to whatever common beliefs are or what people want. But no, all in all, I thought it was a great night. Now, next week, I've got to tell you, it's time to start putting down who is going to be the long shot that gets in for the Oscars? We're getting the Oscar nominations next week, and there always is that. Now, if you may remember, Andrea Riseborough from last year was this like, or le yeah, To Leslie was the movie, was this kind of like, where did she come from? And they did research on it, and it was like 200 votes, putting her in first place because it's a weighted ballot, got her the nomination. Now, there are probably ones who realized that last year and thought, well, let's do that this year. We just need to call up 100 friends and we'll see what happens and get our place on that weighted ballot. So I think we will, instead of these other ones where it kind of recycles the same names, we're going to see one or two that you thought, where did they come from? I don't even know what this is all about. You know, one that people like is Andrew Scott. He was on Fleabag. Do you remember Fleabag? He was the hot priest.
I vaguely remember it. I didn't watch it.
And he's in a movie now that will get attention, but I don't know if it's going to, if it'll push him into the best actor spot, because that's where he would fall. He would be the best actor for the movie. Let me look down. Let me see. Because also there's the American Fiction, another one that could be a, let's slip in there and see what happens. Those foreign films are also ones that, you know, that's where they tend to do well is at the Oscars. And you'd see people like Sandra Hüller. She will be in there. All of Us Strangers is the name of his movie. I was looking for it. Andrew Scott. I think that could be one of those surprise ones where you go, I wasn't planning on him. The one that they're really kind of shunting aside is May December. May December did really well early on with acting nominations. And then it turned up and like it got nothing. And in the, and the SAG Awards, like, well, what's up here? This is not being considered. But that should be a bellwether that maybe it's not going to get anywhere. And I don't know where they're going to put Barbie. Barbie is something that's kind of a wild card. They are all very supportive of it. And they all say that it was like it saved the movies. Look at Meryl Streep raving about Barbie. Would they give it Best Picture? Could they give it Best Picture? Are they tired of these historic ones that they don't think are... Barbie's going to be a big nominee.
It will.
And it could even dominate, be the most nominated movie of the Oscars. It could. Because it's big in all those kind of creative categories. And it might have at least two. I think it only can have two Best Song nominees. All right, right there, you're starting to count, and you've got up to, I think you can get to 10 very easily. But will they reward it? Will they give them the awards?
I've really cooled on the idea of them winning much. After seeing how it kind of underperformed at the Golden Globes, number one, it didn't do particularly well at the Critics' Choice Awards either. I mean, it had a ton of nominations, but it's kind of like, I can see it. I think you're right. It could get 10 nominations very easily. It'll get nominated for Best Picture because they're going to have 10, right? So it'll get a Best Picture nomination no matter what. Greta Gerwig will get nominated. But I like beyond Best Song and maybe...
Production design.
You know, maybe a costume production design. It'll win three and it won't be anything big. It'll be like song costumes and production design or something like that. It won't be...
Makeup, maybe?
Yeah, but it's not going to be Best Picture. It's not going to be Best Director. It's probably not going to be Best Screenplay. I mean, it's just... The tea leaves, if you start reading those tea leaves, it's not looking good right now based on the first two shots at awards.
Even worse, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, that one has really surprised me. I mean, it has basically been Oppenheimer's to lose on pretty much every category.
Yeah, and Lily Gladstone didn't win at the Critics' Choice Awards. I would have thought that would have been a done deal.
That shocked me, yeah.
But now the one who's getting a push that I'm happy about is Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he did very well. And that movie's done pretty well.
And yeah. And if you see that he gets Best Actor, that would not be a bad move.
No.
I think when they get to the historic characters, you go, it's like, well, who came closest to being like the guy? Is it imitation? Is that what we're trying to do? Whereas Paul created a character. And that goofy eye that he had with the movie, I think it's his to lose.
You know, the other one that's kind of in it, I finally watched it, was Air. And I remember a year ago when it came out on Prime, everyone's talking about, oh, it's such a great movie. It's going to win all these.
I loved it.
It was a fun movie to watch. I enjoyed it. I don't think that's...
It's going nowhere.
It's not
going
to win anything. It's new. I don't know if it'll get nominated. I mean, it'll probably get a... Best Picture again, because if you nominate 10 films, I mean, I guess that could be, you know, in the top 10, but...
The foreign films are going to fill out that category. And I think Air is going to get nothing. I think it'll be just shut out because it came out too soon. If they had waited until the fall and brought it out, Viola Davis would be in the mix for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think Matt Damon was that amazing in it either. I mean, he was fine. I mean, he gives you what you expect him to give you, and it was a good movie to watch, and it was fun seeing those guys get back together and do a film together. But it was enjoyable, but it's not an award-winning film, in my opinion.
And that's one of the ones that'll disappear.
Yep.
I was worried about an Anatomy of a Fall because I thought, oh, they're going to ignore it because it didn't get in the foreign, what is, they have a new title for it, but best film in a foreign language or something. It used to be best foreign film. And you have to be nominated by your country. And I think that was not nominated by its country. So it didn't get considered in those categories. Well, that's usually one that it's a gimme. You just give it to that one because it's the most recognized. And, but I think it'll get into the best picture category. And that would make it a strong contender. And this is where you see these things that you go, well, what happened there? How did that win? And I think that'll be one of the ones that'll be in the mix, and it could be a surprise winner. I do not think it's a done deal for Oppenheimer, even though it looks like it. That's the Gandhi choice. We should give it to this movie, but you'll never watch it again. You'll watch it once. Does it hold up on repeat viewings? I don't know because I only watched it once.
I'll have to let you know because I'm gonna have to watch it again because my wife didn't see it and she wants to see it. So there you go.
I mean, although it holds up on a second view because
Sure.
Gandhi, I won't go back and watch. It was so long and so kind of whatever, but it was prestigious. And you go, well, that's Oppenheimer.
There you go. Yeah, so we'll be back again next week now to talk about this. Now for the listeners out there, a little inside baseball. Our production schedule is we record on Tuesdays. So the Oscar nominations come out on Tuesday, January 23rd. So they'll come out in the morning. You and I will scramble together and make our notes and get ready, and we'll be back again basically next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened talking about these nominations.
Why just go, Air, look at all the Oscar nominations it got. It deserved every one of them. That's great.
That's right. All right. Thanks again, Bruce, and we'll be back again next week.